I'm sure everybody's gotten a letter before in the mail that says address to occupant. Have you ever got one of those? It's like address to occupant. They only put your name on there. It's like, so they say like Lee Athey or Gary Athey or Lee and Gidget Athey or any of my names. You know, it just says occupant. And I don't know what you do with those, but I don't ever open them. I just immediately toss them, right? Because if you don't know my name, then I don't really care. But they don't really care either. They don't really care who's at the address. They just got some information they want to give you so they can sell you something. So they don't care who's at the house. They're just sending this piece of material out so that you can know what they want you to know. I think in many ways, a hurricane or Helene is like that. I don't think it's addressed to anybody with a name. I don't think it matters who lives in the house. Whether you have money, you don't have money, whether you are a good person, quote, or not a good person. It just shows up. And wherever it goes, it's your day to suffer. It's your time to go through a difficult season or a hard time. But that's the way life is, isn't it? Sometimes. Life has its ups and life has its downs. Life has its good times and life has its bad times. But here's what we all know. God is good all the time. But sometimes life is not. But God is good all the time. Even in the day of trouble. So when life is not good, what do you and I need to know about God that brings us comfort? Because God offers his child comfort. Those who know him, those who have decided they're going to follow him, he offers comfort. I want to just look at 2 Corinthians a little bit this morning. I promise I won't preach long. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. As Paul begins his letter, he gives us a great anchor to hold on to when storms of life come. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 7, we read, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father." I like how he reminds us right away that God is a merciful Father, that God does not give us what we deserve, because we don't deserve any of his goodness. No one deserves his goodness, but yet he's a merciful God, a merciful Father, and the source of all comfort. We're going to talk about this for a little bit this morning, about God being the source of all comfort. He comforts us in our troubles. Why? So that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. As a believer, follower of Christ, there are unique sufferings that we face that others don't. And yet, he promises us that he will provide us even more comfort. Verse 6, "Even when we're weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer." We are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort God gives. What word did you hear over and over again throughout this passage? The word comfort. It's like all over there. Like if you miss that word, then you have a serious learning, reading disability, right? Because it like just jumps out all the pages. In verse 3, it says, the source of all comfort. In verse 4, he comforts us in all our troubles. Again in verse 4, we are able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Verse 5, God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Verse 6, it is for your comfort. Verse 6 again, for when we ourselves are comforted. Verse 7, you will share in the comfort God gives us. When I get this word comfort, I looked at it. It's the same Greek word that's used for the Holy Spirit when Jesus said he's our comforter. Remember in John 14:6, Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter that will be with you forever. So in other words, if you're his child, you have the Holy Spirit with you. He says, I will give you a comforter that will be with you forever. And he uses that little phrase, that little word, another. And it's a huge word because it means the exact same. In other words, he's saying that I am leaving, but the Holy Spirit is exactly like me. He's God too. And he will bring you comfort. You see, the Father is God. Jesus, the Son, is God. And the Holy Spirit is God. And they're all three are identically the same. One doesn't have more power than the other. One's not greater than the other. Jesus just submitted to the Father when he came. But they're all three are God, yet one God. And don't ask me to explain it because you can't. I can give you illustrations like ice, water, and steam. But that doesn't really make the illustration fully graspable. And I don't know about you, I'm okay with that. Because I want a God bigger than me. I want a God that I can't fully understand. Because if I could grasp and understand him fully, then I would be God. And you would be God. I want a God whose ways are higher than my ways. Whose thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Who's much more intelligent than I am. And I'm okay with that. But he says he will send you another comforter, one who will be your advocate, one who will be your helper, one who will be your comforter. If you like the fall, I understand fall is arriving on Wednesday and Thursday, not by the day on your calendar, but by the weather. It's going to be cooler soon, which has also some bad news for some of us because that means winter is coming. Which means it's going to get really cool soon. And probably by the end of the week, you'll probably pull out this thing called a comforter. If you're a cold nature. Right? And you'll put it on your bed. And the job of the comforter is to help warm you up when you're cold. So at night, if you get your PJs on, you'll pop in that bed. You'll pull that comforter up. And oh, you'll start to feel toasty in no time. But does a comforter change the temperature in the room? No. But the comforter changes you and lets you be warmer. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. It doesn't mean that he's going to change every circumstance and every situation at that moment. But he is going to change you. Inside, you're going to have a comfort, a peace that others do not have. Because the Holy Spirit will strengthen you. He will fill you with peace. when others are experiencing fear, anxiety, and worry. Because the Holy Spirit will give you comfort, because he will remind you that you belong to God, that you are his child, and that you can ultimately put your trust in him, that he will take care of you through whatever storm in life you're facing. There's a verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, 38, that remind me of this, where Paul says something that's very encouraging. He says, "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us." That's what verse 37 says. He says, "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Jesus Christ." You know something I saw as I was reading that this weekend? I saw that word. I don't know, it just hadn't jumped out at me before, but it did this time. And the word, the phrase of the word here is the very beginning. No, despite all these things. In other words, he doesn't say that because I'm going to change all your circumstances and make everything in your world perfect, you're going to have overwhelming victory. No, he's saying despite the circumstances you face, despite all these things, despite all the issues and the problems from the storm or whatever it may be, he says, hold on, you have the victory. You have the victory. Because Jesus Christ has won that victory for us through the cross. That we have salvation, that our life is secure in him. We have the victory no matter what around us happens. That victory is secure. And then the verse that we all know and love follows that. It says in verse 38, "And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love." Heard that one before. "Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither fears for today or worries about tomorrow, even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God or from God's love." We already had the victory. We are no longer enemies of God. God's wrath is no longer against us. God is for us. God loves us. We belong to him. That brings us comfort. How does God comfort us? Well, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, we find out that God comforts us in two ways. The first way we've already discussed is through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is our comforter. If you got arrested today for your faith in Jesus Christ and you got thrown into solitary confinement, you could still find comfort through the Holy Spirit who lives within you. And in solitary confinement, you could begin to worship God, much like Paul and Silas did in prison. And you could begin to give God praise, and you would find comfort and peace in the most terrible situation and being in prison all alone. In other words, you don't need anything or anyone to bring you comfort, for God is the source of all comfort in your life. That ultimately, you have the Holy Spirit living within you and I, and he brings us comfort. He brings us comfort. But there's a second way God will bring us comfort. He will bring us comfort by bringing other people into our lives to be the hands and feet of Jesus and speak to us or bring us comfort and help. God is ultimately the source of all comfort, but God uses his people to comfort us. And often, if we will realize that, we can receive his comfort. But to receive his comfort, you got to humble yourself. In other words, we say, how are you doing today? Fine, I'm doing fine. How are you doing? Fine, good. We're all doing great. Well, then, will you ever be comforted? No. You have to kill that pride, because sometimes we are our own worst enemies, aren't we? We don't want anyone to see how we really are feeling or what's really going on inside of us. And so we hold it all in. And we're robbing the opportunity or the chance to receive our healing and receive the comfort that we need. It was a while back, about 5 years ago or so, that I really hurt my knee bad. And it was hurting and hurting. I thought, you know, it's just getting old, and I didn't want to have to go to the doctor. And I think I just started pastoring here, but I remember walking up these steps, and it hurt. Oh, goodness, it hurt walking up these steps. It was my left knee, and it just gave me all this trouble. And so I was, like, trying to do it on my own, man. I did not want to go to the doctor. I didn't want to admit that I had a problem. So I would go home. I'd put a pack of ice on my knee. Man, I got this, you couldn't tell, but underneath me I had this wrap thing, this wrap thing around me, yeah. On my knee, and then I got what old people get, arthritis cream. Started putting that on my knee, you know. I was praying over it, God, you know. Finally, I broke down and went to the doctor. Got rid of my pride, went to the doctor. And he says, look, Lee, did all these scans on me. He says, I got an idea. It may sound crazy. It's not even FDA approved yet. But he says, we're going to take some blood out of your shoulder. We're going to mix it up with some stuff, and then we're going to shoot it back into your knee. And I said, okay, let's try that. He said, but you have to pay for it all because it's out of pocket, you know, because it's FDA not approved. I said, okay. I said, we'll give it a chance. He said, it may last 6 months or it may last a year. I said, okay, we'll try it. So they took the stuff out of my shoulder. And then they got this long needle. You know, they stuck it in my knee. Oh, did that hurt. And I went home, and it was still like, still a little sore. But in about 2 or 3 days, I didn't have any more problem in my knee. 5 years later, I was supposed to go like 6 or a month to a year, and I was supposed to go back and get another shot. I still am able to move on my knees without all the pain I had before. What I'm telling you that is because I had to swallow my pride. Go to the doctor and say, I can't fix this on my own. I've tried all the remedies. I've tried everything that the people who are from North Carolina know, that the Indians use. I tried everything I could on this knee, and nothing has helped it. I need help. And yes, it was painful. It hurt when they put that needle in. But sometimes when you tell somebody and you say, man, I'm going through a hard time, I'm really struggling, it hurts. Because it's coming against our pride. And we don't want to admit that we need help. But a lot of times God uses that to begin to bring the healing that we need. Because so many times somebody can say the right word or the right phrase or can just listen, and it can begin to do wonders. Let me show you something in verse 4 in this passage. It says, he comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. In other words, so that we can encourage, we can comfort, we can help others. When they are troubled, we'll be able to give to them the same comfort that God has given us. A lot of times when we go through painful events in life, when we go through a crisis, God will take that and use it in our lives to help someone else as they're going through a crisis. Paul gives us a window into what was going on in his life in chapter 7, verses 5 through 7 in 2 Corinthians. I just want to read this to you for a moment. It says this: when we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict in every direction, with battles on the outside and fear on the inside. But God, who encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged us. So you see, Paul's going through a really difficult time right now. He is discouraged. He is hurting. He's facing conflict everywhere he turns. He can't find any rest. And yet he says, God encouraged us. How did God encourage him? Look at the rest of that verse. By the arrival of Titus. By sending his dear friend Titus to him. And Titus brought encouragement to Paul. Look at the verse 7. His presence was a joy, but so was the news he brought of the encouragement he received from you. When he told us how much you longed to see me and how sorry you are for what happened and how loyal you are to me, I was filled with joy. You see what's happening? Titus was in need of encouragement. He was discouraged. Titus went to the church at Corinth. Corinth encouraged him. And as they were encouraging him, they were telling good things about Paul as well. And they encouraged him by telling what God had done for them through the life of Paul. And it brought encouragement to Titus. So then Titus goes on his journey and he goes to Paul and he says, Paul, let me tell you what the church at Corinth said about the things that God is doing through what you have been teaching them and sharing with them. And it brought encouragement to Paul. It was like a bingo, or like a boomerang effect. It went from one to another to another. And that's the way encouragement works. It's contagious. It goes from one to another to another. That we can encourage one another. That's how the Holy Spirit works. That's why I was glad that we were able to gather and worship today. Because I hope as I allowed you to share one with another that you got some encouragement from that. And I hope as we look at the Word of God, not my words, but the words that you read from this book, that you go, oh, wow, God, you are encouraging me today. And you can take that encouragement to those who need encouragement around you. That you can rejoice. Can I just tell you, we need more rejoicing. I don't know you, I can use a good laugh from time to time. I can use a good smile. I can use a good dose of encouragement that brings me to rejoice with someone for what God is doing. I remember when I was a teenager, saw the movie. And maybe you have seen the movie because it's an old movie, but on Johnny Erickson Tata. Anybody remember that old movie? She, if you don't know her story, really quickly, she was a young teenage girl. She was diving off a diving board and ended up getting paralyzed from the neck down. A few years later, I got to hear her testimony at what is now Columbia International. Back then it was Columbia Bible School, Bible College. And as I was there studying, they brought her in to do a chapel service. She came in and she was talking. As she was talking, she was telling us her story and the pain and the difficulty it is for her every day just to get up, just to get dressed, just to be able to function in life. And she didn't share it in a sorrowful way. It was kind of, she shared it like in a determined way. Like, you know, I'm just determined to do this thing. And then about, as she was getting probably about 3/4 of her way through her talk, she said, and I'm paraphrasing, but she said, if I had to do this all over again, I wouldn't change anything about the day that I became a paraplegic. So I wouldn't change anything about that. And I'm like, skeptic in me, no, come on. Come on, Johnny. I want to see you standing. I want to see you, you know, vibrant. And then she said it with, because she mustered more voice and spoke very firmly. And she said, the reason is because what God has done through this. She said, literally thousands of people have come to faith in Christ. And literally hundreds of people who are like me have been given hope and encouragement that I wouldn't change a thing. Right then and there, she became one of my heroes. And I'm looking forward to the day when we see her in heaven, walking around, smiling big, and hearing, because she has a great laugh, hearing her laugh as she meets people after people that she had an impact upon. So many times when we go through difficulties, there's a secondary reason why we go through them. I'll give you two things real quick that I just know. When I go through a difficult time, I know number one, it's to draw me back to God closer. Because without difficult times, we would all tend to forget who God is. It's true. It's the difficult times that cause you to cry out to Him. It's the difficult times that cause you to come to the altar and pray. It's the difficult times that cause you to seek God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Because you need Him. So I'm thankful in some regard for the difficult seasons in my life. But it's also given to me so that I can have empathy for a hurting world. It allows me the opportunity to be a real person to people who are hurting. Because I've hurt too. I've gone through things in life. You've gone through things in life. We have a story to tell because we have a comforter who lives within us, who gives us hope that we're not without hope, that we have a God who is with us, who goes with us through the valleys of life, who is there to take us through our journey. And so that is a testimony we have to share with others. So I was walking in our bedroom this morning. There was this green bubble wrap on our bed. I love bubble wrap, don't you? I'm still a kid. I just want to pick it up and go, dee, 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 dee. I just didn't have time this morning to do as many as I wanted. I did do one, honey. I just had to do one to hear it pop. But here's the thing about bubble wrap. We don't ever throw it away in my house. Not because we like to hear it pop, because Gidget, I'm sure, has some reason that she's got to send or give somebody something that is fragile, so she's got to wrap it and it moves on. And I just wonder if anybody ever throws away bubble wrap, or is it always just in somewhere moving around, right? Do they ever have to make new? Because I'm sure there are tons of old ladies who, not your old lady, hey, but tons of old ladies that move bubble wrap around, right? You know what I think? I think when we're hurting, going through a difficult season, the Holy Spirit's like bubble wrap. He just all of a sudden wraps Himself around us. And if you'll listen to His voice, yes, at times we get angry and frustrated, we get mad at God because, God, why does this happen to me? But when you get over that, every great man of God did that. Elijah did that. David did that. Paul did that. God, why me? But when you get over that, and then you get quiet before God and you listen to Him, He's like bubble wrap. He'll remind you of His love for you. He'll remind you of His care. He'll remind you of the times in the past when you're going through difficult times and He brought you through. He'll remind you of His goodness. And it's just like a safety net that holds you. But we're not to keep the bubble wrap. once we go through our difficulty, we're going to take that bubble wrap and give it to somebody else. And say, listen, this Holy Spirit, this God that I met, He's helped me through difficult times. Can I pray for you? Have you experienced Him? Is there anything that I've learned in life? Is that God is always with me and that I can trust Him that somehow He will bring me through? Can I share with you about His love? That I'm passing that bubble wrap off. If you go back to 1 Corinthians and then we look at verses 8 and 9 as we get ready to close. Paul wrote this. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters. He's about ready to really show us how hurting he was. About the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. He says, we were crushed. In other words, we were depressed. And overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. In other words, we were ready to give up and surrender. We were wanting ourselves to be dead. We just couldn't take it anymore. It's literally what he's saying. And we thought we would never live through it. His time was so hard. In fact, we expected to die. This is coming from the man who is a spiritual giant. This is coming from a man who was dramatically saved, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, who spoke in tongues more than us all, he says. This comes from a man who wrote 13 books in the New Testament. This comes from a man who raised a man back to life through his prayers. This comes from a man who went to heaven and came back. This comes from a man who knew God. What does that tell you? That even spiritual giants at times go through difficult and hard seasons. So if you're going through a difficult or hard season, you're normal. If you feel like, man, I can't take this anymore, that's okay. You're normal. Even the Apostle Paul went through that. But when Paul got low, what did he learn? He said, I learned to rely on God. In other words, I learned to trust God. That is the most important thing you need to hear about a crisis. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. Take it one day at a time and trust God who raises the dead. If he can raise the dead, then all bets are off. He can do anything. By the way, he created a world in 6 days. And some of us still don't have power. It's been 8 or 9 days. And that's not the fault of the lineman. I'm just saying, he's a great, great God. Paul says in verse 9, Paul goes on to say that even at his lowest points, he learned to trust God. In this same book, this is the book where we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul pleads with God to take away the thorn in the flesh. And God says, no. Matter of fact, this is what he says, God keeps telling him. He says, each time in verse 9, each time God said this, he says, my grace is all you need. My grace is all you need. If you're old King James, my grace is sufficient. My grace is all you need. My grace is all you need. In other words, what I have given you is all you need. I've already given you everything. And what I have given you is all you need. He says, my power works best in weakness. He said, when you are weak, that's when you see my strength in you. My grace is all you need. So now, he says, I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may work through me. Going back to verse 2 Corinthians 10, 1, verses 10 through 11. Who delivered us from so great a death, and who delivers us, love this phrase, in whom we trust, in whom we trust, that he will still deliver us. You also helping others in prayer for us. See that phrase, helping others? Because sometimes God is our comforter, and sometimes God uses people to comfort us. But thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gifts granted to us through many. So let me close just by encouraging you. Your comfort comes from God. Your comfort comes from the Holy Spirit who lives within you. The more you give to God, the more comfort and peace you will have. And this didn't teach us anything. It all teaches us to surrender everything to him. Give it all. And trust him that he will take care of you. Trust him that he will take care of you. I think we're on the verge of a lot more difficult times in the United States. No matter who gets elected. And I think we need to realize we've got to trust God. We're going to have to trust God. And secondly, be willing when you are hurting and need help to say, I need help. And also be willing to encourage one another. What does comfort look like? Comfort is a prayer that's offered in love. When you take time to pray for someone in love, comfort is a hug. Comfort is a card or letter that I get in the mail. Comfort is a testimony of God's faithfulness in the middle of someone's storm. Comfort is empathy. It's identifying with that person because you've been there too. Comfort is a pat on the back. Comfort is laughing together. Comfort is a reminder of what blessing someone is to you. Comfort sometimes is rolling up our sleeves and actually helping in a situation. Today, I'm saying, let's don't get so caught up in our own world, in our own self, that we don't really remember, or we don't realize there are a lot of people around us that we can bring comfort to. And the weird thing is, when you comfort others, you get comfort back. I can't explain how that works. It's just like when you give, you get more back than what you give. When you give comfort, you get more comfort back. It doesn't make sense, but it does. Remember Job? It was in Job's life. When did God restore his family, his possessions, and all those things back to him? If you read Job chapter 42, there's a verse in there. And it says, after he prayed for his friends, that God then restored. It's very clear. They go right together. After he prayed for his friends. Who were his friends? Some knuckleheads. They came and said, it's your fault that all this happened. You need to get right with God. If you were right with God, this wouldn't have happened. And when he finally got to the place where he could pray for those knuckleheads, God began to restore. There's a principle there. When we begin to give out, we begin to find God's comfort.